From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, and this morning, Mary Beth Maziarz and I speak with Dave Asprey, the founder of Biohacking and the Bulletproof Diet, and now Upgrade Labs here in Park City. He joins the show to talk about upgraded longevity, cognition, and recovery in human performance. Then filmmakers Iz Lamott and Sarah Beam Robbins, along with Park City local filmmaker and skier Sierra Schlag, join the show to preview the Girl Winter film tour coming up October 28th at the Jim Santee Auditorium of the Park City Library. Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Mary Beth Maziarz.
Our next guest is Dave Asprey, yes, the founder of Bulletproof Coffee, of Biohacking. He is a podcaster, the Human Upgrade podcast, an entrepreneur, the author of many best-selling books like Smarter, Not Harder, and Superhuman, and most recently, a visitor to Park City. He came here to Park City to pitch in with the grand opening of one of his franchises of the company that he founded, Upgrade Labs. And he joins us today to tell us a bit of how he got here and about Upgrade Labs. Dave Asprey, welcome to The Mountain Life.
I'm happy to be on The Mountain Life. I was born and raised in the mountains in New Mexico, so I always feel at home in Park City.
Yes, and we hear that you know Park City pretty well.
Yeah.
So I figured that Dave Asprey is kind of a household name, because hasn't everyone had Bulletproof Coffee? Doesn't everyone know what that is? But, you know, for our listeners who may not know, let's go back to the beginning. Back
sure.
to when you were a kid and you were kind of a computer geek to begin with, and you were also kind of unhealthy.
Yeah, I had arthritis when I was 14 years old, diagnosed. I played soccer like you do in the Southwest. I blew out my knees in Taos like you do in the Southwest. And I hit 300 pounds by the time I was 23. And I had all the stuff you're not supposed to have as a kid, like Asperger's syndrome, ADHD, ODD, which is oppositional defiant disorder. Maybe I still have a little bit of that. Just kidding, it's cured. And all these things. So dysfunctional brain, obesity, sinus infections every month, antibiotics for years, and wrecked gut, and just all the stuff that you're supposed to get when you're 70, I just got before I was 30. And I remember walking out of the doctor's office when I was 14 when he said I had arthritis. I'm like, isn't that for old people? And I'm like, wait, what's going on here? So later on, when I was in Silicon Valley as a computer hacker, building a substantial career there, my brain wasn't working. I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. They told me I had a high risk of stroke and heart attack on my lab tests, and I'm not 30, and I'm pre-diabetic. And I just said, I tried working out. I worked out every day, 6 days a week for 90 minutes for 18 months straight, and I never lost a pound. And I just said, I'm going to have to hack this the way computer hackers do, because we break into systems we don't understand all the time. Like, maybe I could break into my own system. And lo and behold, biohacking now has many, many million people around the planet doing this as, oh, I'm going to consciously control my biology so my energy can come back, so I can feel good all the time, so it stops hurting, or so that I look a certain way. And as we're talking now, I'm 4.8% body fat. I am not on a special diet. I'm not trying to lose weight. I am leaner. I am faster and smarter and more focused than I ever was in my 20s or 30s. And if I can do this, anyone can. And good news is there's 500 million downloads of my podcast, 4 New York Times bestsellers, and a whole lot of people whose lives have been changed just by understanding it's not your doctor, it's not your employer, it's not your government, it's not your daddy. It's you who gets to pick how your body's going to behave.
Right. So I feel like you have this really good equilibrium, and it probably comes from your curiosity, and then this hacking kind of come from. It's a balance between this, well, I'll try this, you know, it might sound kind of woo-woo, but might help, can't hurt. And then on the other end, like, I'm not going to do anything unless it has 100 peer-reviewed scientific articles behind it. You found a good balance, a good place where you'll try anything to see if it works. So how did you get there?
Well, My grandparents are from Los Alamos, New Mexico. Grandmother was a PhD nuclear engineer. They spent their lives doing deep tech. And let's just say I didn't grow up with a lot of woo-woo in a family full of masters and above engineers. So I thought that stuff was all dumb. And it was only after I tried all the things that are supposed to work to the point of just being exhausted, to the point that I bought disability insurance in my mid-20s. Who does that? So I'm like, I'm doing everything that's supposed to work and nothing works. And I'm getting desperate. And my doctor tells me vitamin C will kill me, but kind of thinks I'm lying when I tell him that I'm eating this extreme low calorie diet. Well, then you should lose weight. No, eating low calories doesn't make you lose weight if your hormones are broken or you have toxins, but he didn't know that. So I just said, I'm going to have to do it myself. And so this idea that not having a choice is a great way to get you to pay attention. And I made a commitment. It was at Carl's Jr. I remember really distinctly, I'm with all my friends. They're all thin and they're eating double Western bacon cheeseburgers. And I'm eating the chicken salad with no dressing. Oh, and no chicken because of too many calories. So I'm starving all the time. And I just thought, I work out more than all my friends combined. And I eat less than any of them, even though I'm the biggest one. It must be a moral failing. Or I have bad advice. And it was only just this kind of desperate thing, say, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to try everything. And I'm just going to measure results. Because in the world of tech, you can believe something works, but if you don't get results, you go out of business. So you have to measure whether you're moving in the right direction. And I started measuring all the different things, going, well, what can I measure? And when I created the biohacking movement, it was around, well, what are the things that are most likely to move you in the direction you want to move? And it's been incredible. I get great sleep every night, even though I used to be the guy who would sleep, 5 minutes of deep sleep and wake up exhausted. I don't get sick very often at all. And I was the guy who'd get sick a dozen times a year. And I'm not in pain all the time. But more than that, there's this sense of ease and happiness and joy. And I've tried the fame thing when I was 23. I was an Entrepreneur magazine for being the first guy to sell anything over the internet when no one knew what it was. I tried being rich when I was 26. I made 6 million pre-Biden dollars. That was a lot of money back then. And then I lost it when I was 28, and none of that made me happy. I've been in relationships. Like I just want to be happy and feel at peace and feel like I have enough energy to handle anything life brings my way. And I wanted to share that with people.
Oh, that's a wonderful segue into what I was going to ask you about. There's a terrific quote in the introduction of your new book, Smarter, Not Harder, that says, it's a book about health and fitness, yes, and it's also a book about all the things that you could do if you had more strength and energy. It's ultimately a book about how to be the best version of yourself, you unleashed. I love that because it allows you to customize your approach as an individual as you read this book and decide what's important to you. What are you trying to get out of life? And where do you want to start? So when you find yourself talking with people who are just feeling not at ease in their lives, they're diseased, where do you start?
The first thing to understand is that most of what you're feeling as anxiety, it may not even be anything having to do with what you've experienced or your thoughts. But we tend to blame ourselves for all of that. Your body will feel uncomfortable and make you feel anxious if you're low on energy, if you've been exposed to a toxin. And people say, oh, toxins are nonsense. No, they're not. There's tens of thousands of studies on PubMed showing that toxins reduce mitochondrial function. Mitochondria make your energy. So if you're walking around going, I feel really jangled after I had that cup of coffee in a way that's different than I would normally feel after coffee, well, maybe that cup of coffee was different. And it was that little notice that led me first to start Bulletproof. And now my new coffee company is called Danger Coffee. It's danger because who knows what you might do? Not that, do crazy, dangerous stuff. And the idea here is I removed the toxins from coffee that made me feel tweaked when I would drink it. So I quit coffee for 5 years until I figured out I could make clean coffee. So the idea there is there's all sorts of stuff you're doing that might have some good things and some bad things. And what if you just remove some of the bad things? And even then, when people come into Upgrade Labs, and we just opened Park City, we've got one in Meridian as well, it's not like we'll have the same goals. And what I've realized after opening the first biohacking center on the planet, this is an AI-focused longevity center where you come in and do things that make you feel very different. The goals come down to some people want to lose weight. Some people want to put on muscle. Some people want endurance. Some people want better brain function. Some people want better stress management. Some people want to fix their sleep. Some people realize I've got some libido issues and maybe my lifestyle has something to do with that. And I can just change how I exercise and recover. And I can have just more intimacy in my relationship. And all of those things come down to different goals. Right. So knowing what do you want is the first thing, because no one actually wants to be healthy. Like if I ask you, what does healthy mean? You're not going to say the same thing as the person next to you. So we have this vague idea. So we use AI and data. We just do a little survey and then, oh, now we know what you want first and what you want second. And then we measure where are you with thousands of data points. You stand on an electrical device for about 2 minutes and we measure how are your cells doing? Is there fat in your liver and your organs, or is one arm more powerful than the other? And we get a good sense of what's going on in there. So now we know, what do you want and how are you doing today? And then we can tell you, here's the three things you can do right now in the smallest amount of time, the least effort, that will move the needle in the direction you care about. And this is what's missing from all these health influencers online. We don't all want the same things. If you're listening to this and you're saying, I want to be 5% body fat and a wall of muscle, you're going to have a very different life than someone who says, you know, I'd like to look pretty good and have tons of energy at the end of the day so I can be with my kids after a 12-hour day or whatever. Totally different animals. Oh, and if you're a woman, you might want something different than a man. And even if you want the same thing as a man, your interventions and your path is different. So it's respecting the personalization we can do today that we couldn't do 10 years ago. And so you just walk in the door, we measure you, and we tell you what to do to get results without suffering.
I love that. I love that because I feel like sometimes, especially Americans, we want to do it all at once. And the new year, the day after January 1st is the worst because everybody's made 85 resolutions and then they start failing and then you just toss it all out the window. You feel like if I can't do all these interventions and I can't do them perfectly, I'm out of here. And so this gives you some prioritization for how to go at it one step at a time, which sounds really helpful. Well, there was a part early on in the book also where you kind of compare the body to the processing unit of a computer and how the body tries to be naturally efficient. And we have to harness that inner laziness instead of kind of denigrating ourselves for that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. The worst thing anyone can say to you is you're lazy. No, I'm not. And most people's parents and coaches and teachers have said that. The reality is that trying to do something that's hard takes a lot of energy and your body doesn't want you to waste energy because you might need it to run away from a tiger. This is all invisible stuff that happens before you can even think. So talking about laziness is usually something that's just uncomfortable for people. But what I want you to understand is that your body makes decisions about what to do and it makes you feel a certain way about them. And if you don't believe me, if you were to wake up tomorrow morning and you said, okay, I have two options. One is I'm going to sleep in, I'm going to eat a croissant, and I'm going to have some coffee, and I'm just going to chill, okay? Or I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to go to the gym. Now, we all know logically that going to the gym leads to better results over time, but we also know that that lazy morning is going to feel good. But then we beat ourselves up and say, I must be lazy. No, this is your body unconsciously making the sleeping in option feel better than it is. And it's making the workout feel worse than it is. And we know that if we can just use our willpower to get up and go to the gym, that we're going to feel better later in the day. So we use our energy to make our brains in charge. So our brain pushes against what our body wants. And then a lot of people are like, well, what's wrong with me? I should want to go to the gym. No, your body should never want to go to the gym, but you want the energy to make it do that. So one way is to just push and grind. The other way is a really elegant hack on your operating system. Most people know you go to any website today and they harass you to give you a coupon for 10% off, right? Why do coupons work on human psychology? They work because saving money feels way bigger than spending money. So, ooh, I saved a dollar. And you focus on that, even though you still spent $6 on your cup of like sugary coffee or something, right? Why is it that that coupon feels bigger than it is? Well, it's because the body loves savings. So instead of motivating yourself to go to the gym, the hack on this, and this is liberating, is to harness your body's desire to stay in bed and say, I'm going to save 45 minutes at the gym today, instead of saying, I'm going to go to the gym. And you do this because you do things that are way better than working out. And that's what Upgrade Labs does. If you give us 5 minutes three times a week, you can get 6 times better results for cardiovascular than spending an hour a day on a bike spinning. Literally, 7 days a week, pedaling every single day for an hour, sweating all over the place, someone in spandex yelling at you with some kind of Katy Spears music. I don't know what they play in those classes. I don't go. But you only get a 2% improvement if you beat yourself up or you come to Upgrade Labs. The amount of time you spend brushing your teeth every day, you get a 12% improvement. And, oh, you mean we're going to use AI and science? So now you just saved 40 minutes of sweat? Let me tell you, your body will get you out of bed to save 40 minutes of sweat, but it's not going to get you out of bed to go sweat for 40 minutes. So you change your motivation to actually honor the fact that your body wants to save energy and you want to get results.
If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, we're speaking with Dave Asprey. He is the father of biohacking. He invented the Bulletproof Diet. He's a podcaster. And most recently, he has started Upgrade Labs. One of those franchises just opened, I believe in August, in Park City at Kimball Junction, right next to the Petco. Well, let's talk then about time saving. And by the way, I feel so much better about my daily, well, let's call it meditation, which is playing connections in bed with a cup of coffee with my husband. I will put off anything for that beautiful time. So I'm going to really grasp and embrace that.
You're doing yourself something. You're doing yourself a favor that's really precious. It turns out just intimate time with our loved ones and community time with the people around us, those make you live longer. And at the end of the day, you had some amount of time to take care of yourself and some amount of time to give back and some amount of time to take care of all the things that are your responsibilities to do. If you're with good intention, beating yourself up biologically to work out, that time comes from time with your kids. It comes from time with your community. It comes from time for something. And it's also necessary to have a body that works at least reasonably well. Otherwise, you're in pain all the time and you're tired and cranky and hypoglycemic and all the things that happens to us if we don't take care of ourselves. I've lived them all. So yeah. I just want you to get the time back and to have more energy after you're done, because I know you're going to put that time into something that matters. My experience, and even in my science books, all life on Earth is wired to be kind to its own species and other species around it, as that species does. And what that means is that if you have enough energy, then you're going to improve yourself. You're going to let the person cut you off in traffic without running them off the road, because you just had the energy to just say, maybe they're on the way to the hospital. It doesn't matter. So there's a sense of peace that comes from power instead of a sense of peace that comes from being tired all the time. I like the powerful kind of peace.
Well, speaking of time, Mary Beth and I had the good fortune to go into Upgrade Labs here in Park City a couple weeks ago. And that darn Mary Beth, we were supposed to show up at 5, and somehow in her calendar, she put 4 o'clock. So she shows up, most of us show up late, right? She showed up an hour early. And guess what she got to do for an hour waiting for me? She got to do all of these.
It was some strategic arrival is what that was.
Yeah,
that was. Did you feel totally different? An hour is a long time at Upgrade Labs.
Oh my gosh. I felt like a new person. It was amazing.
Well, let's talk about some of the technologies, because as I went through Upgrade Labs, I thought, how did Dave Asprey specifically choose this machine, you know, this infrared, this cryotherapy, this AI cheat machine, or this big squeeze? I did get to, I got put in the big squeeze machine, and you know what, it knocked me out immediately. I was asleep and it felt so good.
It's so calming.
It, like being in the peristaltic action of a snake is what it feels like. It feels so amazing. It's just like fantastic.
A lot of people will lose a dress size when they do the big squeeze because our bodies don't have a way of getting rid of this lymphatic waste that's in you. If you go for a long walk every day or something, you might, but it builds up and it's not even inflammation. It's just extra water and extra waste fluid in the tissues. And a normal massage doesn't get it out. And a lot of the compression pants you'll see out there, sometimes they don't get it out either. We have specific gear that's clinically validated in doctor's offices that specifically stimulates the lymphatic areas of the body. So you lay in this thing, it calms your nervous system. You're like, oh my God, this is like the best whole body massage ever. But what it's really doing is it's helping your body get rid of stuff it's trying to get rid of. So when you're done, like, oh, my pants are looser than they were before, but you feel way different. And how do you go about this? Well, about 12 years ago, I had bought all of this kind of gear for my own recovery. And just because I'm really interested in this, and remember, I was not that healthy when I was younger. And when I got my health back, I learned running a longevity nonprofit group. I've been doing longevity for 25 years, wrote a major New York Times book on it. And I speak at all the conferences on how we're gonna extend human life. But I had all the equipment in my barn on Vancouver Island where I'd built a regenerative farm. And I said, I got to move this to Santa Monica underneath Arnold Schwarzenegger's office. So we did that. And the first Upgrade Labs and the first biohacking center on the planet was born there. And I had no idea what was going to work or not work. So I tried a bunch of stuff. I've tried more than 50 pieces of technology. And some of them work better than others. But what's unique about Upgrade Labs is we figured out how to use the right settings on the right machine in the right order with other ones for you. So it's super highly personalized. And you can imagine if you went into a bakery and on the menu, they said, we have water, flour, salt, and yeast. What do you want? And you're like, I wanted focaccia or a hamburger bun. And this is kind of the state of a lot of places out there. Oh, we have some cold stuff. We have some saunas or something. And all of it's good for you. But the right thing at the right time in the right order is magic for you. And that was what we used just based on experience and based on AI and data at Upgrade Labs. So our job is to just tell you what to do to get results in the least possible time and with the least possible suffering. Because if it hurts a lot or it's a huge amount of effort, you're not going to do it for very long. No human on earth does that. At the extreme, I like to say, if you could add 10 years of quality life to your life, you just have to wake up every morning and punch yourself in the eye 10 times. No one's ever going to do that, even though it'd be 10 years, right? Because we all have a limit, and just relying on your willpower to push you to do something every day for the rest of your life that you don't want to do that doesn't work very well. This is why there's $400 million a year of ghost gem memberships. So you come to Upgrade Labs, less than 20% of what you do is actually something to push your muscles. We just push them really effectively with tech. The rest of it is about recovery. And some people come in, they just need to recover before they can even put on a pound of muscle. But you can recover by taking a nap. You just don't recover very well. So let's use the big squeeze. Let's use this incredibly futuristic light therapy. It's not just red and infrared light. Let's use cryotherapy and things people have never heard of, like the metabolic trainer. You sit somewhere for 20 minutes wearing a face mask and everything in your body changes. And people who do this on a regular basis have profound changes in their metabolism. You sat on a couch and looked at your phone while breathing something for 20 minutes and we let the tech do the work instead of you. And it's so much easier.
It is. It kind of makes you feel a little like an astronaut. You have all these cool suits and you're hooked up to stuff and you're being measured and you're like, they probably have been doing some of these things for, you know, astronauts and people in highly specialized physical sciences. So it is definitely worth popping in and just taking a tour. Even if you're not sure if this is for you, go see it. It's pretty fascinating. And even if you might just find there's one thing that really speaks to you or something else. I have a question for you though. Supplements are a way that so many people try to kind of biohack for themselves a little bit. And I think they're highly influenceable by something they hear or something they read, but it's a little bit of a hit or miss sometimes. You talk a lot about different supplements in the new book. What's most exciting for you right now?
It's all about personalization. So which supplement should you take? Well, it depends what you want. And there's two supplements that everybody needs no matter what. And one of them is called Vitamin Dake. It's vitamindake.com is the easiest place to read that info. This is a mix of fat-soluble vitamins. You need to have them together, and they tell minerals where to go in your body. And the second thing everybody needs is called Minerals 101. And you can pick these up at Upgrade Labs. They're also available online. Minerals 101 is all of the minerals that are missing from our diets today because our soil is deficient and because we keep spraying our plants with things that tie up the minerals so you can't get them. So if you think your spinach, which isn't even good for you anyway, if you think it's high in iron, it's only high in iron if the soil was high in iron and they've been growing spinach there for 40 years. There's no iron in that soil. So you don't know what you're getting and you're probably not absorbing it. So I do Minerals 101 and Vitamin Dake every day, and those work for everybody. And from there, what's your goal? Is it cognitive function? Take a different supplement. There's Brain 101 for that. Or maybe you just want to feel more motivated. There's Motivation 101 that changes your neurochemicals for that. Or maybe you wanted your metabolism to work better. So it's a completely different thing. And we guide our members when you come in. Well, what's your goal? What are the supplements that support your goal? And you could be like me. I'm planning to live to 180. I take 150 plus supplements a day. I have whole spreadsheets and I've been in this field for 20 years. You don't need to do what I do. I'm trying to do something that no one's ever done before. And what you do want to do is find the ones that are economical. And the two I just mentioned, Vitamin Dake and Minerals 101, are affordable. And they work very, very well across all the different things your body needs to do. So if you are going to go to the gym or just go for a walk, you might as well get the results of that because your body had enough zinc and enough vitamin D and things like that. But yeah, going in from there, what do you care about? Like, let's supplement to get you what you want. And maybe longevity is your goal. You know, maybe it's energy, maybe it's weight loss. You just change the supplements based on that, and we'll help you do that. That's part of the app and part of measuring your goals and then measuring your results.
Yeah. And where do you want to go first? Because it can really lead to a chain reaction of positive things in your life. If you have more energy, then maybe you do more things and you have more time to spend with people you love. And you mentioned red light therapy. I'm so interested in this. You have an option when you're doing some of the treatments to have some red light therapy. Just briefly, if someone's not familiar with those wavelengths of life, what do they do?
About 11 years ago, I started one of the first red light therapy companies, and I manufacture those devices that are shining on your face at Upgrade Labs. And there's huge evidence for red and infrared light that they do things directly to your cells. Just like plants are sensitive to different kinds of light, you know, greenhouses have different color lights, we're also sensitive to light. And red light helps to drive you to have better collagen and more energy in your cells. And infrared light that you can't see that's also in those lights actually drives your cells to be able to make electricity more effectively. So it improves your metabolism and it improves the way your skin looks, and it even improves speed of healing. So all of a sudden you're laying there and you kind of got this light-based facelift while you were doing your big squeeze. And I always want to stack the therapies so you just get more results in less time. And when you do the red charger, the whole body thing, it's not just red and infrared light. We're actually embedding very powerful signals into the light that your body listens to get specific results. And that's why it feels very different than just you're sitting under a red light. You feel like something just happened to you. That's what's going on in there.
Dave Asprey is our guest. He's the founder of Upgrade Labs, and one of those locations has just opened here in Park City in Kimball Junction. Dave was on hand recently to open that in grand fashion. And Dave, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Mary Beth Maziarz.
The Girl Winter film tour hits theaters nationwide following its world premiere this weekend in Jackson. It's coming to Park City on Monday, October 28th to the Jim Santee Auditorium at Park City Library. So following the wild success of their first feature-length film last fall, Advice for Girls, which also came to Park City, the team's back in action with a night full of brand new, high-quality women ski and snowboard short films. Joining us now are a handful of people involved, a handful of women, I should say, involved in the films. Isla Mott, the filmmaker, along with Sierra Schlag, a local kid who skis in the film and also helps produce, and Sarah Beam Robbins, also a skier. And wow, welcome to all of you, Sierra, Iz, and Sarah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, let's just get started with the most obvious thing is, what is Girl Winter, Iz?
Yeah, Girl Winter is a film tour that will be hitting theaters across the nation this fall, starting this weekend. It's a collection of six short ski and snowboard films. And the common thread throughout all of the films is this narrative of women in the mountains, specifically in snow sports. Just our goal is to, you know, keep creating visibility around women-centric stories. And, you know, we've had a lot of male-dominated ski films over the decades, and we're just trying to continue pushing that female narrative and normalize women in those storytelling spaces.
It seems to me that there's a tremendous sense of pride when you see this male-dominated genre that are ski films and women skiing in them and making them. And across the board, I saw this with Advice for Girls, and now I'm seeing it with Girl Winter Film Tour. And it's really refreshing. Sierra, why don't you comment on your involvement in Girl Winter?
Yeah. So I'll have a short film. It's called Nisei, which is the Japanese word for children born from Japanese immigrant parents in North America. So the film explores my Japanese American identity through this creative lens of skiing, and is directed it and shot the whole thing. But it's very artistic and creative. So I'm excited to share it this fall or next week, honestly. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let me, I wasn't born in the mountains. I'm a transplant. And the first time I saw a ski film, it blew me away. I just didn't know the human body was able to do those kind of things. So, Sarah, maybe you could share us a little bit about what it's like to be a filmmaker of a ski film. How do you start approaching that?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I actually started my filmmaking career with a ski documentary. So I wasn't aware that it could be any easier than making a film. But it's a lot of just planning and coordination, but also a lot of flexibility. Weather has a huge role in everything that we do, whether that's, you know, preparing for a powder day, or whether that's considering avalanches and moving through avalanche and backcountry terrain. It's this ability to plan, but then also be flexible at the same time too. I also think those of us that are ski filmmakers, we got into it because we love to ski ourselves and we have a huge passion for the sport. So it is really this like dance between filmmaker and skier, and how you can kind of like creatively express via both parties. So yeah, it's fun. It also sometimes is a lot of like wet cameras and things like that, but mainly good time.
I know my husband is a photographer and he's a beautiful skier, but he also can ski with 40 pounds of equipment on his back. And that's a real test. Like you're shooting some insanely great skiers, but I'm sure that your camera people are pretty insane skiers themselves.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of equipment we have to carry, no doubt. And our backpacks are very, very heavy. We actually coined this term called turtling, and it's when the filmmaker... The backpack is so heavy, it actually just pulls you back down and you can't get up because the backpack has just pulled you down to the ground and you need help. So lots of turtling occurs.
At least you're in the snow, right?
If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, we are having a conversation with some amazing female skiers and filmmakers. We're speaking with Iz Lamott, who's bringing the Girl Winter Film Tour here to Park City on Monday, October 28th, along with a local kid, Sierra Schlag, also a filmmaker and a skier, and Sarah Beam Robbins, a skier and a filmmaker. So it's really fun to have you. And I remember last fall when you brought Advice for Girls to the area, it was sold out. It was sold out in Salt Lake. It was sold out in Park City. And Iz, could you comment on, you know, was this a surprise to you, the popularity of having this all-girl ski film and how crowds really received it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all went into that project just really feeling extremely passionate about wanting to tell that story and hoping that it would be well received. But, you know, that's the thing about filmmaking is like, it's a little bit of a toss up. You never know exactly how it's going to go. And we ended up having 45 shows across the country and 37 of those were sold out. So it just showed us that like this kind of storytelling is really valued. People are wanting this. The amount of interaction we had with people throughout that tour was just absolutely incredible. I think it really blew all of us away. And, you know, that's kind of how we got to Girl Winter this fall of, you know, these stories. People want to sit and watch these kind of films. They're asking for them. They want more. You know, we went from having the first all-women ski film back in 2013 come out, and then it was like another decade until Nexus came out, and then we were a few years later, and we're kind of at this point of let's stop waiting a decade or every few years and let's bring these female-centric stories to theaters every year. And, you know, Girl Winter is kind of a response to that success of Advice for Girls and bringing that community that's asking for more the kind of stories that they want to see.
It's really nice. Well, when Advice for Girls came last fall, it was kind of like a girls' night out thing. I think that created a lot of solidarity, but I'm wondering what kind of support you get also in this very male dominated world of ski films, get support from the guys.
Totally. I think that something that we've been kind of pushing the whole way is that, you know, women can keep showing up in these spaces and keep asking for more visibility and keep asking for more support. But it gets to a point where we really need the men to show up alongside us. And, you know, we've been screaming from the rooftops for decades. And when we have men show up at these film events as allies and support systems, it just feels incredible. And, you know, I think we feel really grateful for all those folks showing up. And that's the thing about whether it's Advice for Girls or Girl Winter or any of these films going forward, like these films aren't just for women. These films are for everybody. We had this common occurrence when we were out filming for Advice for Girls where like some, you know, a man would come up to us and be like, oh, what are you girls up to? And we'd be like, oh, we're filming an all-women ski film. And they'd be like, oh, my wife would love that. And we're like, and you might love it too. And so we're just really pushing like, yes, this is like female-centric storytelling, but this is really for everybody.
I'd love to see people bringing their kids. So, you know, young women, but also young boys can see the badasses who are out there ripping it up too, and kind of know that it's an equal mountain and there's a lot of flexibility and cool things about women's bodies that allow them to do really special things. I noticed that you have a partnership with Steo for this. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Steo is our title sponsor. They are the ones making this whole tour possible. We are incredibly grateful for them and all of their support. They actually also were the title sponsor for mine and Iz's film, which is also in Girl Winter, Kindred, that features Devin Logan and Caroline Clare. And that's a really fun piece, lots of character, about two women from Long Island and how they then eventually went to the Olympics. But long story short, Steo has really showed up for women in this space, and them coming on to the Girl Winter Tour as the presenting sponsor is just more proof that they're like here for women in the space, and we could not be more grateful for them. We do have some really fun activations with them. There will be a meet and greet at the Park City Steo location prior to the film. So if people want to come out and meet our athletes, meet the filmmakers, get some posters signed, have a little bit more like one-on-one time with the folks behind the scenes, I will be doing that at the Park City location. So come on out to Steo. And anyone who has a Girl Winter ticket can show that to their local store and get 20% off. So wow. Steo is doing a lot of really awesome things, not only for us, but also for the community and the folks that are going to come out and support the tour.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a significant discount too, because
good gear is, you know, an investment. So that's really wonderful. Tell us a little about the name Girl Winter. I love it.
Yeah, this is kind of a funny play on words. It comes from the terms girl dinner or like girl math, you know, which are for those of you, like for folks that don't know what that means, you know, girl dinner is kind of this like funny saying of you'll sit down with your charcuterie board or your snacks and all these little bits and bobs, and somehow it makes a dinner for yourself. And it's maybe not a traditional dinner, but it's all these kind of comfort foods that come together to make up like a really great like dinner for yourself. So we wanted to play off of that and call this Girl Winter because we're bringing a bunch of different short films together to make like one awesome ski film feast is what we're calling it.
Little snacks, little tastes of excitement.
Yeah. Little tastes, little snacks. So that was kind of the play on words there. And then also, you know, girl math is just this concept of, oh, I've got a gift card, so therefore I, you know, bought this thing with my gift card, so it's basically free. So
the way, or that, the Diet Coke that balances out the large fry.
Yes, exactly. And so for us, it's like, oh, you bought a ticket to see one film, but instead you got six. So the other five are basically free. So there's a lot of just kind of like fun play on words that we wanted to bring into this because the films are fun and this is like a place to celebrate and just like, you know, be ourselves, be feminine, have fun with it all. So yeah, that's a bit of the story behind the name.
I love
that. That makes it so great. You know, when I first saw Girl Winter Film Tour, it kind of confused, it befuddled me a little bit about the title. And once I read more about it, I went, oh, this is brilliant. I love it. I love it. So let's hear a little bit about the individual films and what we can expect to see.
Yeah. So we have six films, as Sarah said, and they all have their own narratives. We have just over an hour of runtime. We're going to be doing Q&As throughout the event as well. So the, you know, kind of event time will be about an hour and a half. You're going to have to help me. I hope I don't forget any. We have Consonants, which features Aaron Spong. We have Schlag's film, Nisei. Shifting Terrain, which is with Jacqueline Pollard, who's also a STO athlete. Kindred, which is with Devin Logan and Caroline Clare, who are also Park City locals. They will be there. That will be extremely fun. We have Blue Hour with Amy Engerbretson. And then we have The Beginning, which is a snowboard film.
Alenka Melly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That one we're very excited about. She's a gal that's based out of Squamish, and she was the first female to complete a base jump on a snowboard. So we have all kinds. There's so many different narrative threads, and it's just really kind of a little bit of everything. But overall, it's just women being badass in the mountains and really, you know, telling their stories. I think the beauty of kind of where the ski film world is right now is these athletes are really getting the opportunity to tell their stories in their own, like, films that they produce themselves. And it gives them the opportunity to tell their stories in the way that feels really good and authentic and genuine to them. And they're able to create this piece that, you know, comes from within, comes from their own mind. And we're really excited that each of these is basically coming from those athletes and is able to encompass them as whole people and really dive in beyond just the skiing.
Sierra, I'd like to return to you and to hear a little bit more about Nisei. But first of all, I'm curious about, you know, being raised here in Park City, not only did you have the influence of the Sundance Film Festival, but at Park City High School, there was, and I'm not sure if it's still a really pronounced film program, and you used to do this, the high school used to have every year a film festival. And I distinctly remember a film that your older brother had in that film festival one year that I went. And it was just phenomenal, the kind of education that you all were getting. Was it that way when you went through high school? Or I know there was like a turn in the program, unfortunately losing one of the great teachers. Yeah. Talk about that time.
I mean, I feel like Park City High just had an amazing film program, and even like our morning announcements were like so well produced. and it made it look fun. I actually never took any of those classes, unfortunately. I was very in the science realm of things, and I did that all throughout college too. But like the Miners Film Festival that happened every year, like really just exposed us to like how we can create films and explore things creatively that doesn't have to be just like getting good grades and taking tests and all that stuff. So I think Park City High School just really allowed us to explore those creative lenses. And with Sundance coming every year, like I remember it just being like the best time in school, because we would get out of class to just go watch films, which is like an amazing educational experience that like broadened our horizon so much. But I think just in turn with my ski career, that's kind of, I like don't compete. So filmmaking is kind of the next step to like further your ski career. And I think probably subconsciously I had that basis of exposure in Park City High School to kind of dive in headfirst into making films.
For all of you, what are some of your favorite things about working with women athletes of this caliber?
Oh man, there's the so best.
It's the best.
I think like for me, it really is the best. I think for me, it's like, at least in the spaces that we've created on our crews, it's open communication and vulnerability and support. That's something that I noticed when we were in production with Advice for Girls, is that by creating honest, open communication with one another, we're able to create really safe spaces, and that harbors creativity. And it allows the filmmakers to feel comfortable enough to create really beautiful art. It also allows the athletes to be really open and vulnerable and be themselves out there and ski with the terrain in a way that makes sense to them. And I think that there's nothing left in that scenario but to just create a beautiful film. So I think for me, that is my personal favorite part. And just, you know, the fact that women are total badasses and can do anything that men can do, if not better and more.
That definitely in the creative process, being willing to be vulnerable and having the environment that supports that is just such a gift, isn't it? What's the best thing that can happen with a film like this? Is it just impact in communities? Do you have hopes for films like this after their initial run?
Yeah, I think the biggest, one of the biggest goals in what we do is, you know, you spend 9 months making this piece and then it's time to put it out in the world. And one of our biggest goals is always to get it in front of as many eyes as possible, and that's like why we host tours like this. And then it will have a life online after our tour is complete. Like all these films will be released at some point, I'm sure this winter. But bringing people together as a community into an actual room, into an actual space to watch these films together is unlike anything I've ever experienced. It's one of the key things that really draws me into this line of work, like building that community and bringing people together. And, you know, we saw it with Advice for Girls. I remember this one show in particular at Killington in Vermont. We showed it as part of the World Cup programming. And there was this row of girls and little girls in the front row, just sitting with their hand, like laying down their hands, their head in their hands, big starry eyes watching the film. And of course, like, I don't know, I think everyone wants to leave an impression on the next generation. And whenever we're able to do that and inspire young girls, it's just the cherry on top. And, you know, these films that we're showing this fall, as I said, have all these different messages. And so we hope that people in the audience can see themselves in one or more than one of the films. And I think that's really important too. You know, we're hoping to inspire people to get outdoors and get into the mountains. And the biggest way to do that is for someone to be like, oh, I resonate with what's happening on screen right now. I feel like I could go do something like that. And I think, I don't know, all of those things are just massive goals when it comes to putting films out in the world. And we're excited to do it again this fall.
Well, we look so forward to having you come to Park City. Again, just for listeners, there is a pre-party at Steo on Main Street. If you, and Steo again, is making this tour possible. So if you have a ticket, you, or even if you don't have a ticket, can you go by?
Yeah, that event is open to public, but get a ticket.
The ticket does get 20% off.
You get the 20% off if you have the ticket. How do people get a ticket?
If you visit girlwinterfilmtour.com, it has our entire lineup of shows for this fall. And you'll see the Park City specific stop on our website.
Okay.
And just say that one more time, maybe.
Yep. It's girlwinterfilmtour.com.
And maybe tell your friends if you go visit it who maybe live in other ski towns or other areas in case they haven't heard about it, so they know too.
Exactly. And you can also get tickets by going to the Park City Film Series website. That's parkcityfilm.org. Sierra Schlag, Isla Mott, and Sarah Beam Robbins, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life, and we'll see you on Monday. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life here on KPCW Park City. As always, you can hear our archived shows at kpcw.org under the Shows tab or wherever you get your podcasts at KPCW The Mountain Life.